Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today is a small group of people, but they're being led by one of our favorite guests here, Father Jerry Horan. Father, welcome again to our show.
Thank you very much.
And before we get into any of the explanations as to what we're doing, Father, if you would be so kind as to lead us in a word of prayer, we would all be eternally thankful.
I would love to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord our God, your Son told us to go and make disciples, and he entrusted to us his all-powerful word as a magnet and an attraction and a tool to invite others into your wonderful love. Help us each to be evangelizers, help us to make disciples, and help us to draw people into the family of grace and the community of sacrament that we call the church. We pray your blessing upon us, upon the conversations we're going to have today, and upon all who are ministers of your word to the world. And we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Now, Father, you always have something new to bring to us, and in this case, we've got a whole crowd of people you brought to us, who we'll introduce in just a few minutes. But I want to reacquaint our audience. Father Jerry is the Vicar for Faith Formation in the Diocese of Orange, which is a position that puts you, Father, in charge of a lot. In charge is the wrong term, I think. You empower a number of different ministries, most especially those that have to do with acquainting people with education in faith.
That's right. I almost prefer the verb collaborate, because what I do is collaborate and support the ministries of a lot of other people. But I'm involved in university chaplaincy, Catholic schools, religious ed, youth ministry, and the Institute for Pastoral Ministry. We spent a previous show talking about their work. And so, but all of those ministries have as their focus to share and to nurture the faith in various age groups and sectors of the church community.
I like the word collaborate as well, because if you actually had to be the head of all those departments, you would have gone crazy a long time ago. And I have it on good authority that you have not gone crazy.
I'm not crazy, no.
You have learned how to collaborate and to empower people into doing ministry. Today, we're going to be talking about one of the core elements behind catechesis, and that has to do with evangelization and how we walk with people who are looking at, perhaps for the first time, either in their lives or in a while, of walking with Christ. So with that in mind, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in evangelization in the Diocese of Orange today.
Well, we just last week in the diocese, we had what we're calling an evangelization summit, and we invited all of the parishes of the diocese to form an evangelization team and participate in this summit meeting. And last week's meeting was the first of three parts. The second and third components of the evangelization rollout will take place in January, but working with the same teams. But our work in the previous week was to introduce the notion of evangelization and begin a bit of reflection with our parish churches about what do we need to do to set the stage for that evangelization? What within us personally, but even more in the sense of a parish church, what within the parish structure or ministry or personnel might need a little tweaking before we can be effective in this work of evangelization. The popes of recent history have been talking a lot to us about the need in the church for a new evangelization. Pope John Paul was very articulate about that. Pope Benedict continued his concern. And as Pope Francis speaks about the joy of the gospel, he's talking about the work of evangelization. But the use of that word goes back to the Lumen Gentium and the documents of Vatican II. It goes back to Paul VI, who told us that the church exists to evangelize. That's our purpose. One of the things that our speaker last week said, he said that the life cycle of the church is to make disciples, mature disciples, and mission disciples. And so we're making, maturing, and missioning constantly, and in that we're growing the church. But we've talked before about some of the challenges that the church faces, the attrition, the growing number of nuns and unaffiliated and disconnected people, and the fact that that ex-Catholics are becoming the second largest denomination in the American church. And so we've got some real challenges, and there's a real need to bring the word alive. Bishop Venn, as we began talking about evangelization in our office, he suggested a kind of a three-point plan to me, that we need to bring the diocese to a common vision, we need to be motivated and on fire with our faith, and we need to begin to reach beyond ourselves.
What did he mean by each one of those three aspects, do you think?
Well, come to a common vision. Our church here in Orange is terrifically diverse, and that's a wonderful characteristic, our diversity, and yet sometimes it makes it challenging to come to one conversation. So we're ethnically diverse, we're diverse in terms of opinion and perspective, but as we work so much on constructing that beautiful cathedral on this site, we need not only to have a pretty building, but we need to be a people who are united as a church. And so the first thing Bishop Venn is talking about us doing is having a common vision. And the second term of being motivated and on fire is that we're not just doing this for our own comfort or self-satisfaction. We're doing it because it's inspired by God's word. We're doing it because it's the working of grace in our lives. And that takes us to three, reaching beyond.
That's always the hardest part, though, because as soon as you start setting something down into a planned program, it's so easy to squelch the spirit and moving through it. But what Bishop Venn was apparently talking about, how to go beyond that to inspire anew to a greater outreach toward the community.
Yes, and we're going to, a part of our evangelization summit when we get to the third stage. The first one is introducing the idea. The second stage is talking about method and practice. And the third part of the summit is a showcase of programs that can be beneficial toward making that happen. And we'll probably have 10 or 12 different evangelization programs that will be showcased in that part three. A lot of them are based on small group dynamics and faith sharing, small community support groups that help the faith to mature in an individual's life and kind of keep us accountable to our decision of faith. And so, but there are a number of possible programs that may be appropriate in different communities or with different ethnicities. And so we're looking to that evangelization summit to show us some possible curricula.
Now, one of the things that's always been near and dear to my heart is Catholic education. That's partly because of the importance of the early years, especially early years of discernment in the lives of the faithful. When we see people who become nuns, generally speaking, and by that term we're talking N-O-N-E-S, not N-U-S. We like nuns with the N-U-N. Mm. But the people who opt out of Christianity often do so early in their lives,
meaning
somewhere between 15, 16 and up through 27, 28, that golden decade, so to speak, where people are beginning to really discern. So my question for you more specifically is, what are some of the things that the diocese is doing to reach out to those who are in that age bracket, the time of real life discernment?
Well, one of the things is the work of focus. We have Newman apostolates or Newman clubs in three locations in the diocese. We've got one at Cal State Fullerton, one at University of California, Irvine, and one at Chapman University. And so we reach out. We have priests assigned to provide sacramental guidance and counsel in those locations. And we have recently enhanced those ministries by beginning collaboration with a group called FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. And I'm very excited about the work that they're doing in the diocese. We're in our second year of working formally with FOCUS, but they send teams of missionaries to work hand in hand with the Newman Apostolate on the college campus. And what one priest can't begin to achieve, they can materialize by going on campus, reaching out. Usually the missionaries are of a similar age to the students they're trying to attract, and they seek to establish friendships and relationships that invite young people into that Newman Apostolate.
So in other words, if I as a parent, and I happen to be old enough to have children that are ready to go into college soon, if I send them to one of those schools in the Diocese of Orange, there are missionaries there that are working already through the Newman Centers who are there to try to help shore up their faith or even to inspire a faith that may be lackluster in love.
That's right. It's a very exciting ministry. And of course, we heard just last week that Pope Francis is announcing a synod on our outreach to youth coming up. And how wonderful that is that this ministry supports that.
And when we come back, we're going to talk quite a bit more about this particular program called FOCUS. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. We'll be right back. And we're back at Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope on the beautiful campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today, we've been talking to Father Jerry Horan, who is the Vicar for Faith Formation, which is this position that empowers a number of people. And today, we're talking most specifically about evangelization. And we were talking about the evangelization of really young people. And from my perspective, people who are young. Those who are roughly 17, 18 on up through their mid-20s, people who are going to college. And we were talking about how specifically the Diocese of Orange has really taken hold of a wonderful program that has recently begun to augment and empower the Newman program on these campuses we were talking about, Cal State Fullerton, Chapman, and UC Irvine.
Yes, and FOCUS, as I mentioned earlier in our pre-show conversation, FOCUS is a national network that has missionary representatives in more than 100 universities nationwide. And usually they operate in teams of four, and they share community life. They share regular prayer together and a very disciplined life. The diocese gives some financial support, but each missionary needs to fundraise money in order to subsidize their ministry.
I happen to know the amount that it is, and it's very low, which means they do have to do a lot of fundraising. But we have three that are here with us in the studio today. They look healthy, which means they're still eating, so that's a good thing.
Yes.
Just as an aside, for those of you who ever hear of FOCUS members doing fundraisers, give them lots of money. In the meantime, I want to introduce the three that we have here with you today, Father. We have two from Cal State Fullerton, Miguel Cabrera and Mallory Smarto. Did I say the names correctly? Yep. I will welcome you two. And then one lone person from UCI, Emma Shope. And did I say the word Shope correctly? Okay, very good. Well, and welcome. I'm glad that you were all able to be here. Let me ask you a question, and it's going to be for each of you to kind of go through one at a time. Who are you and why are you here? I mean, what has gotten into you? Why are you doing missionary work here in Southern California? And let's start with you, Ms. Shope.
I'm Emma, and I grew up in Illinois.
Whereabouts in Illinois?
It's a town called Normal, Illinois.
Normal. You have to call it that. Okay. So it's not anywhere near Chicago.
It's 2 hours south of Chicago.
There you go. Okay. You're far enough away to be Normal. Okay. Normal,
yeah.
Illinois.
So I grew up in Illinois, and then I went to college in Kansas at Benedictine College.
Oh, I like that already. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was really there that I got involved with a focus program.
Did they have one on your campus there?
Yeah, it's the second largest one that that Focus has. So it's quite large. And what I typically say about my relationship with Jesus in college is that it was a tug of war. It was not always as strong as it is now. And there are times when I was like very into my faith, and there were times when like I wasn't practicing at all.
Very honestly said, because I think that is far, far more the typical situation for most Catholic young people than even they would like to admit.
Yeah, absolutely. But then it was my senior year, actually a little late in the game, when a Focus missionary started investing in me. And when I say investing, I mean that she befriended me. You know, she invited me into her life. She started inviting me to different events and just to like hang out with me. And I enjoyed her company, and I was like, okay, well, I don't really want to do this Jesus thing quite yet, but like, you're fun to hang out with. So I spent a lot of time with her, and it was very, very quickly, actually, quicker than I thought would happen. But her joy was just like, I wanted it. I was like, I don't know what she has and like why I'm not joyful, but like, I'm just going to start emulating everything that she does, because she has joy in a relationship with Jesus. And I guess if that equals joy, then that's what I want too.
I'm going
to
pause you. I'm hoping our listening audience can hear this. I'm watching her face, and you can't see it on the air, but the eyes have lit up. She's looking in her mind at this experience with this person, and she's just lit up. So is this the typical experience that you would say people have when they encounter missionaries in the focus group? Is they've experienced someone else who has joy for Christ?
Yeah, I think that that's a pretty typical experience. And it's not just encountering these people that have joy for Christ. It's that through encountering these people that have joy for Christ, you're encountering Jesus himself.
That's fantastic. I wish that when I was at Cal State Long Beach many, 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 many years ago, we still had mastodons running around the campus at the time, that there were people that had that kind of joy for Christ as well. Mallory, what happened to you? How did you get into this mess?
So I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I went to school at Xavier University in Cincinnati, Ohio.
So a good Jesuit school.
Yep. Okay. And I studied math and computer science and theology.
Okay, wait. Math, computer science, and theology.
Yeah, two minors and a major.
Okay.
The last two were minors. Math is the major.
Okay, that's fine. Not everyone, you know, when we think of a piece of pie, we're thinking strawberry,
right.
or not strawberry, we're thinking cherry or apple.
You're thinking
3.14159.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm going to the 20th
like
digit. How far can you go? Okay. So what got you into Focus? Was it at Xavier?
No, Focus is not at Xavier. I had a friend who graduated a couple years ahead of me that ended up doing it. And in my senior year, it was like, hey, Mallory, like, are you going to apply? Like, are you going to apply to Focus? I was like, I don't know. I'll think about it. Probably I'll just apply, but we'll see. Clearly, like, I ended up doing it. But for me, my motivation was really that, like, I was heavily involved in a student-run group, and just to, like, do a lot on your own in that setting, in a college setting, is hard. So, like, to have the opportunity to support people and empower them and invite them to a relationship with Christ, because, like, a lot of people just aren't given that option. If we don't tell other people about it, and if I don't tell my friends, and if I don't tell my peers about Christ and, like, show them who he is, then they're never going to know. So it's, like, on us. And on me in particular, I felt to make the invitation to people.
Yeah, Mother Miriam is always saying it's not about bringing people to Christ. It's about bringing Christ to people.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and that has to be done only through you.
Yeah.
So how are you going to do that? And your answer was, I'm going to do it through Focus.
Mm-hmm.
So let's put you on hold for a moment. I'm going to move right next door to you. And standing or sitting next to you is Miguel Cabrera. Miguel? So you're at Cal State Fullerton. What got you involved with Focus there?
Yeah, so I was born and raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school for 11 to 12 years of my life.
Okay.
And so I've always understood the faith academically, but never did I really understand I was never exposed to what a personal relationship with Christ is. And so when I transferred to San Diego State, where I went to school.
That amazes me, but doesn't surprise me. And that's unfortunate. So let me go back over this again. You went through Catholic schools?
Yes.
And you went through confirmation?
I did go through baptism, reconciliation, and First Communion when I was in elementary school.
Okay, well, that's second and third grade, so all right. And then, but the rest of your education, did you go through Catholic high school as well?
Yes.
Okay, so you were able to go through Catholic elementary school, Catholic high school, and still come out what I would call uncatechized, someone who has never really, or even unevangelized, you've never encountered Christ as the loving man of God that he is. Because he's both totally God, but totally one of us.
Yes.
Wow. All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead with your story, because that's sad, but so true for so many people in so many ways.
Yes. And so I went to Ventura College, community college, for a couple of years after high school. Wasn't really involved in my faith. I would go to Sunday Mass with my dad, but to me, I didn't really understand the importance. It's just something I did with my dad. It wasn't until I was at San Diego State when I became involved with the Catholic ministry there, the Newman Center. And I knew that I needed to go to Mass, so I would go to Mass, eat a donut, and then leave.
have Jesus, have a donut, and you've got all the carbs you need. Okay.
Yep. And so then I would go and hang out with a girl that I was dating at the time.
Okay, now I get the picture. All right, there's a girl involved. Okay.
Soon after we broke up still in the very early stages of me being at San Diego State, I was longing for community. I wasn't really friends with my roommates yet. I needed people that I was very similar to. I was already semi-involved with the Newman Center, so I just thought, why not just hang out there a little bit longer? Maybe I can make a friend or two. And that's exactly what happened. One of the first people that I met was actually a Bible study leader. He invited me into his Bible study. We're now actually best friends.
Now, this was an evangelical Protestant who...
No, it was a Catholic.
A Catholic Bible study. Yes. They exist. Wow. Continue, please.
And so I was like, sure, I've never been in a Catholic Bible study. I have been in a Protestant Bible study. So I was just really happy to be invited to that. Then I was invited into RCIA to be confirmed. And I just saw in the people there that they were authentically happy, authentically joyful. And I knew that I wanted to partake in that. And just through my adventures of being at the Newman Center, I was able to see that it was a personal relationship with Christ that made them so joyful. And I needed to have that in my life.
I love the word you just used, the adventures of being there at the Newman Center. It says something. As I was talking to each one of you, I was watching your faces, as I pointed out with poor Emma over here. But when you start talking about the people you've met in this program, your faces all light up, and you talk in ways that talk about having encountered Christ in the people that you have that you were mentored by, back into the church more completely and deeply than it sounds like before for each one of you in different ways. When we come back, I want to make sure that we pick up on that theme and we talk quite a bit more, not only about what happened to you, but what you've brought into your ministry, to the people around you. And then I'll probably even take a twist as to the so what moment. What does that mean for you? You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And we're talking today with four people, starting with Father Jerry Horan, one of our favorite guests. But he's brought with him three missionaries from a program called Focus, who are bringing Christ a little more completely to the campuses of Orange County. And we'll be right back.
Now is your chance to support Catholic education and the future of our Catholic faith. Subscribe to the OC Catholic newspaper today, and we'll make a financial contribution to the Catholic school of your choice. Simply visit OCCatholic.com/subscribe and select the school within the Diocese of Orange that you'd like to support, and we'll make a gift in your name. You also get the award-winning OC Catholic newspaper at your door with the OC Register newspaper every Sunday for 1 year. This is win-win all around. Go to OCCatholic.com/subscribe.
And we're back at Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you from the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio, here on the 8th floor, high atop the Tower of Hope in Garden Grove, California. And with me today has been Father Jerry Horan, who is the Episcopal Vicar for Faith Formation in the Diocese of Orange. And he's brought with him three friends who are fellow workers in the ministry, but excuse me, Father, but much younger than the two of us are. And we were talking earlier, Father, about the age bracket of roughly 17, 18 to about 27. as being a primary time when so many vocations to Christ are won or lost in the lives of so many people. And with us are three missionaries whose purpose, it seems, is to try to reach out and take hold of a few people that they're able to do and bring them to Christ. Actually, let me back up, to bring Christ to them, which is a very important distinction. So with that in mind, we introduced what got you involved with this. So how does your ministry actually work? What is it that you do? You go into the campus and you kind of sit out there with a fishing pole and kind of troll for souls. What do you do? Who wants to start first with answering that?
Okay, I guess I will.
Ms. Shope.
Hello. So essentially what we do is we go into the campus. A lot of times we work with the Newman Center or the Catholic Center that's already in place. And we lead Bible studies and we host events. So like we call them WIN events where they're just big.
You call them what events?
WIN.
W-I-N?
W-I-N, WIN events. It kind of, that we win people in, like we draw them in and show them like, we're cool, we're fun. Like an example of that would be a couple of weeks ago at UC Irvine, we had a bonfire at the beach and we had like a good 30 people that came. We had glow-in-the-dark volleyball, and so we got glow sticks, and it was a lot of fun. It was a big win.
How do you get the ball to glow?
Well, you tape it with glow-in-the-dark duct tape.
Got it. Okay. I have a dog at home that just loves volleyballs. So all my daughter's old volleyballs are all bitten up, but we can't play at night. So now I've got an idea. This is really good.
Yes,
so glow-in-the-dark volleyball on the beach.
On the beach. And there was a bonfire and we had s'mores. It was great. So that's an example of a WIN event. And then the Bible studies, that's kind of like our build. So we have this model, WIN, build, send. The build is our Bible studies and one-on-one discipleship. And by one-on-one discipleship, that's really the meat and potatoes of what we do. So we said WIN, build, and send. But ultimately, this like model, this thing that we do is what Jesus did. So what did he do? He took the 12 apostles and he formed them and then sent them out and they built the Catholic Church. So using that kind of idea, we are trying to implement that onto the college campus. So one-on-one discipleship is we'll invite, I don't know, 3 to 5 on average, students into one-on-one discipleship, and we teach them how to do what we do. So that once they graduate, and even on campus, whatever walk of life they choose to have after campus, whether that's like in the workplace or as a missionary in some capacity somewhere, they know how to evangelize and they know how to really, truly love people where they're at.
Okay. So at UC Irvine, you guys have bonfires on the beach and Bible studies and you send people out. Is it totally different at Cal State Fullerton or what do you all do there?
It's pretty much the same concept. It's the same exact model that we use. The only things that I think vary are the interests of the students. At Cal State Fullerton, the students, some students do love the beach. So we actually did a very similar thing. We had a bonfire at the beach one Saturday in the very beginning of the semester, and we played spike ball. It's very similar to volleyball. It's a game I can play much easier. I'm not that good at volleyball.
You're taller than I am, so.
Yeah, and my mom was a volleyball coach. Okay. I'm not that skilled in volleyball. I didn't get those genes.
Okay. And what about you, Mallory? What have you seen as being the basic things that you all do with this program?
Definitely just like hanging out with people, because like to encounter a person, as in like the person of Christ, like you can't just like meet this whole big, I'm doing air quotes, you can't say like air institution, right? Because we want to meet a person. And so like for me, it's that, okay, I'm going to go on campus and I'm going to lead Bible studies and I'm going to eat lunch with people and go to Chipotle with them and go to Mass with them because I love them so much. And I want you, as you, like the student, I want them to meet my other friend who is Christ. So like just through like doing things that friends do, because like that's how growing friendships work and that's how growing relationships work. So to be able to just do that with the end goal of mine in mind of wanting to introduce them to like my really good friend who is the Lord. And so to then invite him into their lives just through normal things like Chipotle. I love Chipotle. It's on my mind. Probably
Chipotle.
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 No, I'm going. tow cars together with AAA. We just wait on the side of the road.
Okay. Very good. So you are able to do win events at Chipotle.
Yeah.
Okay.
That guac is a win.
What? Guacamole is an evangelization tool. That's very good. So you'll win Christ through any means possible. You know, when I was a Protestant, one of the things that struck me most in going to Catholic Mass was the sensuality of Mass compared to the Protestant worship services I was aware of. And it just so happened that I was exposed to some high Mass, including smells and bells, which along with the normal kneeling and the standing and the chanting, it's far more sensual. But you've taken this to a whole new level with guacamole.
Yeah.
When you're
the feels.
What about these Bible studies? Are these Bible studies formally written out? Are they things that you do on your own? What do you do with these Bible studies? Mallory looks.
Yeah,
like
I got it. I got really.
You're
excited.
On a roll.
Yeah, for sure. So Focus has just like an online forum where they have all of the resources that we use. Because the point of what we do in leading Bible studies and discipleship, which is what Emma was talking about before, is to teach others how to do the same. So we want everything that we do to be able to be imitated. So like I can work with a student who's in my Bible study, be like, look, so-and-so, Susie, like I'm just getting this Bible study off online. Like all of the questions are there written for me and I just pick which ones people seem to be responding to more. So it's imitatable so that then the students who are in my Bible study can be like, oh, she's not super great at creating all these really fancy questions and trying to pick out passages from the Bible. She's just like following like a model. And I can do that too. So when you lead, we try to lead by, lead by character, not by talent. So like I'm not sitting there creating up all of these Bible studies. I'm just being like, look, I can see what Focus has and I can use it and so can you. Yeah,
it's if Peter could be called to be a leader amongst the disciples, anybody can be called to be a leader amongst the disciples. So in other words, you've got this plethora of information available to you through the miracle of the internet.
Yeah.
And anybody can have access to this and anyone can learn from this how to do what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Bible studies are there for you. The WIN events, you guys all collaborate in order to try to make possible. You then talked a little bit about the sending forth, but you mentioned something about accompanying people, which I'd like to explore a little bit more because that's been a very important theme for Holy Father Pope Francis. His last sets of writings, while they've dealt with lots of different themes, the focus really has been on accompanying people, whether they're being accompanied through problems in their lives or they're being accompanied on their way to Christ in evangelization. How does that look in your ministry?
Very similarly, earlier I used the vocabulary, the adventure of the Newman Center. Mm-hmm. Very similarly, the Catholic faith isn't necessarily just a topic of study. The Catholic faith is also an adventure. When you're on a journey towards Christ, all of us are. And it's not really a journey that we're called to walk on by ourselves. The Catholic faith calls us to community with one another, calls us to a church. And so we don't just want to like get a student, equip them, and then send them off, you know, by himself or by herself. We're walking with them. We as missionaries also want to grow. And want to be challenged and learn from our students just as much as we want to teach them. And so it's a partnership. We are just the ones that have been equipped and have given our lives to the Lord in a way that we want to challenge the students to. But we can't just tell a person to do something. We have to model it for them. And the way that we model it is by just being with them along their journey.
So, Emma, kind of like what you were describing happened to you, your job is to kind of duplicate that in the lives of the people that Christ has brought you to.
Absolutely, yes.
So how does that actually play out at UCI? How has it played out at UCI?
At UCI? So I am very new to UCI. I've been there a month. So I have what we call inherited. So at UCI, we have a focus program that's already in place and that there are men and women in discipleship that have already been in discipleship with past missionaries, but they've turned over this year to new missionaries. And so I am now discipling people that other missionaries discipled in past years. So what that looks like for me now is like just getting to know these women. I take them out to lunch and I just like spend time with them and ask them about like what their favorite things are so that I can really like enter into their life and just get to know them personally.
Okay. So when we come back, what I'd like to do is to talk a little bit then more about some of the successes that you've had, some of the adventures that you've had. You mentioned the word adventure. What have they looked like? You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. Today we're talking with Missionaries for Focus, who are on campus and bringing Christ to the young people in Orange County. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. We'll be right back.
The Diocese of Orange is excited to announce our new online store. The Orange County Catholic Bookstore has thousands of Catholic product offerings, from prayer cards to crucifixes, statues, and icons. Whether you're searching for that special devotional gift, products, or books that support your personal faith journey, or a beautiful image or statue for your home or business, please visit store.occatholic.com. Proceeds from purchases help to sustain the social outreach, educational, and pastoral ministry of the Diocese of Orange.
And we're back at Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today, we've been talking with Father Jerry Horan and three Focus ministers, three Focus missionaries. And we have been focusing on the evangelization of young people, most especially those who are in college age. And we are talking specifically about this program of missionaries that work in tandem. At least the way that it's used here in Orange, in the Diocese of Orange, they work in tandem with the established program of the Newman Centers. But these are missionaries that come out to basically be Christ's arms and legs, hands and feet, mouth and heart to the kids that are in college out here. Now, I want to ask you this. So is it really as easy as it sounds? Because you guys are all on fire, and it's so, so refreshing to hear some ministers in the Catholic Church who are really on fire for Christ. You just go ahead and decide, I'm going to do this, and tomorrow you're doing it, right? They're shaking their head. No. Okay. So what kind of a training program do you have to go? Let's say, for example, you've decided somewhere in your senior year that you want to spend 2 years doing this kind of ministry. What do you got to do?
First, the first thing we do is obviously go through an application process. And from there, Focus decides if they would like to invite us to an interview. And the application and the interview are both part of discernment. No decision is made. There's no commitment made until after the interview process. For me, the interview process was actually like a retreat. There was prayer involved. There was talks involved. There was a lot of conversations just about where Christ is in my life. And it really got me to just evaluate where I needed to even improve on as well.
Okay, so what was it like for the rest of you? Emma, how did you come into play, and how were you trained then?
Right, so my senior year was kind of like my reversion back to my faith. And I mean, I had a lot of self-doubts, like, because I wanted to do everything that this other missionary did, because, like, she was such a good friend, and I was like, well, I'm going to do everything she does, and I would love to do this for another woman, like, in that God is sending in my life, like, to show them that they are loved unconditionally by a man who will never stop loving them. And so I wanted to apply, but I didn't really want to tell anybody because I had all these self-doubts, like, well, I'll never be good enough to do this thing. But I applied, and I only told her. I went to the interview weekend, and it was like the finalization of my reversion, because when I was there, I had a really very real encounter with Christ in a holy hour before my interviews. And I felt it was like through a passage in Sirach, and I was like, all right, Jesus, like, I think this is where you want me to go. And if it is, I'm all in, like, whatever you want, just let me know. and I did get the call about 4 days later that they wanted me on staff. And so for me, it was very much like Jesus put it on my heart, and he followed through, and he just made it very clear that he wanted me as his missionary.
Okay. Mallory, I assume you had a similar kind of experience with your interview process,
yeah.
But What happens after that? Because they don't just throw you out there to the wolves, so to speak.
Right, yeah. So after you get hired with Focus, the summer before you go to campus, we have 5 weeks of training. And each of those weeks is a different type of formation that we went through.
So 5 weeks of boot camp.
Oh, yeah.
Bible boot camp.
True.
Catholic boot camp, whatever.
Yeah. So we go through human formation, spiritual formation, intellectual formation, and then apostolic formation. And it goes in that order because all of those different types build off of the ones before it. So it's an opportunity to grow in, for me, my identity as a daughter of God for the first 3 weeks with the human, spiritual, and intellectual, and then to grow with my team in the apostolic formation, where we really went through the practicals of what we were going to be doing on campus.
So they didn't make you drop and give you 10 or even 10 commandments?
Actually, well, I did a plank every morning.
Okay. But, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, every morning. Woke up, plank with my roommates.
But they weren't telling you to do that. You were decided to do this as, as a spiritual, physical discipline.
Yeah, it was
awesome. I wasn't worried about you up until now, but now I'm getting there. That's okay. No. That's actually wonderful that you're able to do that. Let me ask this a little bit. Where do you go from here? I know that for all of you, you've encountered other people. You've been doing ministry now for a little bit of time. How has it affected you? What about you, Miguel? What's happening in your life and how's Christ moving you?
It's an interesting question because as a student, when I accepted this leadership role at the Newman Center, I was focused on everybody else's relationship with Christ. And I didn't realize this until actually being a missionary that I need to spend more time, I too need to be fed. I too, the Lord still desires Miguel time, quality time with Miguel. And so understanding that I need to just keep focusing on my own personal relationship because that can easily be forgotten when you work in ministry. You're worried about everybody else that you can forget about your own relationship. And so for me, that's kind of been the biggest realization being a missionary, that for me, I need to keep being fed because I can't give others what I don't have.
Jesus himself would go off to pray by himself at times. Maybe it's just to get away from the yapping of his disciples. We're not entirely sure about that. And the priests won't tell us one way or the other. But what you're saying is that this has been something that has not only been fulfilling for the people that you minister to, but it's been a way of Christ working through you to help awaken in you what you need.
Yes, and just also trusting in the Lord. It's been really crucial, helpful in that.
Anybody else have any encounters with themselves and Christ through this program?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say that as I've been a missionary, this is my third year on staff now. I've learned so much. As you asked that question to Miguel, I was like, oh gosh, there's 20 things I could say. two things came to my mind instantly is one is that it's taught me to love. Really, truly, I have not mastered this, but it's just taught me to love in a new way, to love my team, because sometimes I don't want to, it's hard and, being living in community is not easy. It's taught me to love my team. It's taught me to love people by seeing Christ in them. Because I think it's really easy to just pass people by and not think that person has an eternal soul. That person, either they know Jesus or their soul is dying. And what am I going to do about it?
Oh, that is so well put. Christ has put this person in front of you. What are you going to do about it? Yeah,
absolutely. So that and then just also a recognition of the societally, I know that society has this idea about relationship that is so different than what God's idea of relationship looks like, and that having true virtuous friendships and relationships with others is uncomfortable, but that's okay. One of my most fruitful relationships that I had through Focus, I remember when I met her, she was sitting alone in this little field and she was by herself. And I was like, I know the desires on my heart and God has placed it to talk to this woman, but I don't know how she's going to respond. And it could be the most awkward conversation of my life. But that girl had a hidden life of sin. And now she's a missionary with Focus.
Wow.
So just like being okay and embracing the awkward, because mission is so awkward sometimes, but it's, I mean, but it's necessary in order to save souls.
What about you, Mallory? Anything come to mind?
Yeah, so I've been a missionary for a couple months now, so I'm pretty fresh in that experience. For me, it's a lot of just little by little, the Lord revealing to me why I'm here. And so through that, I'm able to trust him more and more. Yeah, which is just like a beautiful thing to learn.
Wow. Father, I want to thank you very much for bringing these three missionaries into the studio and into our lives. I'm stoked. I have had my faith lifted up a little bit just by being in the presence of all of you. And I want to thank you three for coming in. Father, so this is the state of our current church when it's trying to relate evangelically to young people in college.
As you said, they're just electric, and I'm really glad that they're present in our campuses. You mentioned before the hemorrhage of young people that we're seeing in the current generation. I think I saw some statistics that said, you know, of the people who leave the church, 30% leave before the age of 18, another 30% before the age of 25. And we really have some urgency about reaching out to youth. And it gives me great courage for my work to know that they're doing the job.
You know, it's interesting because Viktor Frankl once told the story about the man who was throwing starfish back into the sea after a huge storm. And he was asked by someone on the beach, "You're not going to be able to save all of those starfish." He says, picked up one more and threw it in the ocean. "Yes, but I saved that one."
Yeah.
And it's, you all can't handle the thousands and thousands and thousands of souls that are on all the campus, but you can handle the ones that Christ has given you, one soul at a time. Wow, I want to thank you so much for being here, for talking to us a little bit about your experience encountering Christ in the people that you are ministering to as missionaries, and in bringing Christ, what I have to say, so successfully through who you are. Your wonderful panes of glass and reflecting or refracting through Christ in what you do. Thank you for what you're doing. Father, if you would be so kind as to lead us in a word of prayer and blessing, I think all of us would be deeply glad for that.
Lord our God, we thank you for young people with open and receptive minds, and young people who are fertile ground for the seed of your word. We pray that we might take your challenge to go and make disciples, and that we might take that word to the ends of the world. We pray this through Christ our Lord. And may Almighty God bless all of our viewers in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And you're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. Thank you all for coming. Thank you all for listening. And we will see you all again next week.
Your chance to support Catholic education and the future of our Catholic faith. Subscribe to the OC Catholic newspaper today, and we'll make a financial contribution to the Catholic school of your choice. Simply visit occatholic.com/subscribe and select the school within the Diocese of Orange that you'd like to support, and we'll make a gift in your name. You also get the award-winning OC Catholic newspaper at your door with the OC Register newspaper every Sunday for 1 year. This is win-win all around. Go to occatholic.com/subscribe.